This is Katie and Kay, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond, broadcasting at 88.1 FM and via translators at K202AB at 88.3 in Glenwood Springs, K202AT at 88.3 Aspen, K203EG at 88.5 in Basalt, K203EH at 88.5 in Redstone, K228AG at 93.5 in Leadville, K234BJ at 94.7 in Old Snowmass, K235AP at 94.9 in Thomasville, and K260BZ at 99.9 in Snowmass Village.
Good afternoon. You are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth News Team on KDNK. I'm Eli.
I'm Emerson.
And I'm Mountain.
On today's show, we are joined by Carbondale Middle School's principal, Jennifer Lamont.
For the first half of our show today, we will be speaking with her about what it's like to be principal and what inspires her to be working with kids.
During the second half of our show, we will be discussing issues that middle schoolers are facing locally and globally.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Ms. Lamont.
Thanks.
To begin our interview, can you please give us a brief introduction of yourself?
I have been with Carbondale Middle School for about 21 years, and I raised my children here in Carbondale, and I have family here in Carbondale, and it's my town. I don't actually live in Carbondale any longer. I actually live in Woody Creek, but I love coming back here every day and hanging out and seeing all my past students and present students here in town.
That's great. And why did you choose to become a principal and an educator?
I started with education when I was younger. I worked at Easter Seal Society quite a bit in Miami growing up and really loved teaching kids and did that through college and was a special education teacher for about 14 years here in the Valley and another three in Florida. And it kind of just evolved the job. It got to the point where I worked with really intensely with a group of about 20 to 30 kids and decided I really wanted to work with the whole student population and work with the community and get more involved. And so I slowly moved up from assistant principal to principal. And I've been in my principal job for 8 years now, but I love education. I love watching our kids travel all the way through from K to 12 in our Carbondale schools, and now we have parents. I have parents that are that were students of ours, and now we have their kids, and it's just watching the community evolve. It's really fun. You know, when you are an educator, it's like a microcosm of all that's going on in the world impacts you in your building, and so you can make a lot of change.
Awesome. As a middle school student, I was wondering, what inspires you to work with middle school age kids?
Middle school age kids are the most fun, I think. It's the first time where they're really becoming independent, and you're watching them make their own choices, and they're starting to, you know, they're growing up. We're laying that foundation for all their adult choices they're going to make in their life. They're starting to realize what they like, what they don't like, what they want to do, what they're good at, what they need practice with. There's a lot of influence, you know, that you can have on a life in middle school. And they are fun. They are into music and movies and dances, and they're starting to, you know, recognize each other and build relationships. It's a really fun time.
Cool. What does a principal's typical day look like?
Oh, you can never predict it. It's everything from communicating with the community and programs, all the nonprofit agencies. You are communicating with families. You are communicating with healthcare workers and mental health support. So a lot of it is just making sure you have all the management pieces together. You have your schedule, your budget. Every day you're doing something, you know, whether it's today looking at sub days in the building, looking at a budget for programming, building quarter to core schedules, answering emails from families, communicating with families, and lunch duty, where's the only time we really get to see the kids. So the day is never typical. You kind of have your hand in everything. You try to get into classrooms as much as you can to support teachers and to see the kids actually working. And that's the really fun part, is to see the incredible things teachers are doing and watching the kids really engage in the classroom. That is a lot of fun. So it's never boring. It's never the same. And today went really fast.
Yeah, there's a lot going on a principal's day. Now, what are some of the highlights from this year so far?
You know, we have, I think one of the fun things is to watch a group of kids go from fifth to eighth grade and watch the changes. And we have an incredible eighth grade class. It's fun watching them having matured and become leaders and step up in the building, and watching them tackle challenges in the classroom. And so that, I think, is a success. It's really fun to see this eighth grade class. We've had eighth grade had a great Mount Elbert trip. I got to attend last week the sixth grade trip to Highline and watch kids and participate and do triathlons together. And that was really fun to see the team building and connections with kids. So that was a huge success as well.
I'm glad my eighth grade class isn't too bad. I was wondering, what are you looking forward to for the remainder of the school year?
You know, you really look for those great moments in the classroom. You know, our teachers are working really hard to plan really relevant projects for kids and kind of connect all the learning to their life. So I really look forward to being in classrooms and getting to watch kids make those connections. You know, we love to see our fifth grade when they show up. You know, they're not sure what middle school is all about, and we really look forward to them growing and changing and becoming middle schoolers over the year. That's something we look forward to. I've got, in a week, I go on seventh grade trip. We're going to Keystone Science Center with the seventh grade, so I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah, I'm really excited to going to Keystone. We have been speaking with Carbondale Middle School's principal, Jennifer Lamont, about her career as a principal. We are going to take a short music break, but stay tuned to hear the rest of the news team interview Mr. Lamont about current issues facing middle schoolers.
And after our music break, we'll be hearing from Blake and Ephraim interviewing Ms. Lamont.
You are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth News Team on KDNK. I'm Blake.
And I'm Ephraim. But before we continue, here's a brief announcement. Independence Pass Highway 82 eastbound, there are whiteout conditions and travel is not recommended at this time. The expected length of this event is unknown.
Anyway, back to our show. We have been speaking with Carbondale Middle Schooler's principal, Jennifer Lamont, about her job as principal. Now we would like to discuss current issues facing middle schoolers.
In these times of social media and figuring out your identity, how do you help kids stay safe, happy, and mentally well?
You know, you really have to build in a lot of supports for students, because you want to make sure students have someone to connect with, someone they are comfortable talking to. You need to have systems for kids to be able to voice their concerns and voice their opinions and to get the support they need. So we have a great counseling student support team, and hopefully we work hard. Last year, all of our teachers spent time writing down students they had connections with. We want to make sure every student has an adult that they trust and that they can talk to, so that they have someone to, you know, ask for help from or get support from or get advice or just lean into when they're having some hard times. Middle schoolers go through a lot of change. They're with social media. They're aware of a lot of the issues impacting their families and themselves. And so you just want to make sure they feel safe and comfortable at school so that they'll speak up.
And how do you help kids in the LGBTQ plus community feel safe?
You know, we've been very fortunate. We had a prevention specialist last year who joined Miss Lori Knaus, our librarian, who started a GSA club. A student actually started a GSA club a couple years ago in conjunction and did some work with the high school. And we started a club 2 years ago for kids just to meet in the library and just support each other and figure out how they could support others in our building. And then last year, membership grew to the point we had the largest GSA middle school organization in the Western Slope. Wow. And they actually just won an award by One Ally of Colorado, which Ms. Knaus and the GSA Club just went and collected that award and went to the ceremony a week ago. But I think giving kids a place is one thing to feel comfortable. Another is our GSA club is now going to cruise and sharing messages just to educate our community and make sure that everyone is feeling comfortable at school. But we actually have our club meets on Mondays and Fridays in the library, and anyone is welcome to come check it out.
That's so great that one kid can start that whole effect.
This kind of ties back in, but what steps are you taking to prevent and combat bullying at school?
You know, we instituted an official no bully program where we run no bully lessons through our crews. This particular month, we've been having kind of no bully informationals every morning on the loudspeaker. Today was about gossiping and how 41% of our students felt like there was gossip that could be harmful and what to do about it and how it is harmful. And there was like a student message shared with kids on the loudspeaker every morning. You know, there's also, we've been advertising the Safe to Tell number, which is a statewide program. It's totally anonymous. So if kids have any concerns or there's something happening, they can call that 1-800 number and share information to get support that way. We have a RAMS box in our school that's also anonymous. That's another way students can share. And I think just educating through crews, a lot of our activities, we are running a lot of circles. We're making sure every kid has a voice and every kid's heard. And that way, hopefully every student will recognize you know, that every student has a voice and is a member of our community, and we want to make sure we have a compassionate community. So we work a lot on compassion and kindness throughout school.
Yeah, you see these like in the movies, I guess you could say, in like Hollywood and stuff, you see how these schools, they don't really take action much on bullying, but then again, in real life, it's much different, and it's kind of to hear this.
You have to have a plan, and it's getting kids to use the plan, I think, is the hardest part, because you got a lot of kids at middle school that, you know, don't want to snitch, and that's a tricky thing. You want it, but those same kids also want everyone to be safe. So how do you find that middle ground and get kids comfortable enough to want to make sure everyone's taken care of and everyone feels welcome?
Yeah. Well, it's good that we've made a lot of progress so far with the, you know, Safe to Tell, and a lot of these things didn't exist, you know, 10-15 years ago that I know of.
No, not even 5 years ago.
Yeah, they're lots new. Of the, you know, very new programs, new ways to combat bullying. It's good. So when a student wants to change a rule at school, such as dress code or computer usage, how do you handle this?
You know, we actually had this last year. A group of kids were interested in working on the dress code at our school, and so you know, while it might have started off as a petition, you know, we really kind of to guide them on a positive way to make change, and taking kind of that feeling of protesting and being really proactive with it. So we made some meetings with the kids. We had them read over our current policy. We had them highlight parts that they felt were unfair or judgmental. We asked them to do some research and make some suggestions and bring us some information. And I got a lot of emails from fifth and sixth graders asking questions and asking what we were looking for and how they could make that change. And so they actually wrote up some suggestions, and we kind of changed our dress code and represented it to them again, and they gave it feedback too. And so we actually did make a change last year on one of our policies. So I think it starts off as a, you know, they start off really impassioned and want to boycott and protest and start petitions and send things around. But, you know, we try to take that and make something productive. You know, there's always a reason behind all of our many rules in middle school. So we want to make sure that we're communicating that reason and giving kids a voice to express their concerns and make sure they understand our side and make sure that we understand and value their opinions as well.
I think over the course of the school year, and maybe even a little bit over the summer, there's actually multiple changes, not just to the dress code, but those who go to CMS will know the 7th and 8th grade bathrooms also updated over the summer. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a big one. There's a petition, and there's a lot going on there, so it's kind of nice to hear from the person who kind of directs all that. So there's been an onslaught of school shootings in the United States recently. How do you inform and prepare your students and staff for this?
You know, every fall, the staff goes through a crisis training. A lot of changes have been made, similar to what Blake said, in the past 5 years. This is a total new thing, how we've been having to make a lot of these changes. One was our new safe and secure entry that we got with the bond issue. So we now have a system for checking people in and out of the building, and we have a way of locking down the building and a way of communicating throughout the building. There's a system with a touch of a button that, you know, we can communicate with the whole building, check out, you know, where things are happening. The rest is practice. I mean, because you have no idea. You learn a lot from every episode that happens, unfortunately, in the country. You learn a lot, and you and based on every situation, we make changes. You know, you go from teaching kids how to lock down in a room, and now maybe that's not the best idea. Maybe the best idea is to run out of the room. So you have to actually talk about it, and you're never going to know exactly what to do, but teachers need to be very aware of what's going on. You know, when we practice, every time we practice, we'll think, what do we do if kids are over here? Or what if we do it's this time of day? What if it's in lunch? Yeah. We're all in the cafeteria.
So many variables.
Or we actually had a fire drill go off after the bell rang at 3:21 at school. And we're like, oh, now half are inside, half are outside. You know, how do we get everybody in and out when everybody's moving around? So, you know, all you can do is practice. And every month we practice a different type of drill. We take notes on it. We reflect on it. We share with teachers updates and changes and things maybe we missed or how to improve things. And we check to make sure our systems are in place and working. But it just takes practice.
Yeah. And it's, you know, one of the, throughout history, the taking, you know, different issues. The U.S. has been one to take an issue and, like, you know, improvise and, or not improvise, but, like, look at the issue and acknowledge it instead of looking over it and trying to take action instead of just hopefully you're thinking that, oh, well, if we ignore it long enough, it'll go away. Mm-hmm. And so it's good that we take action and we don't ignore things. And especially, you know, informing students and making sure students and staff are aware is good, too, because hiding it from students just wouldn't be fair.
Yeah. And it's tricky in a middle school because, you know, communicating about these kind of situations with an eighth grader and communicating with this about a fifth grader are two totally different scenarios.
Exactly.
So, and it's not a fun part of the job, my teachers would all say.
Yeah. So another issue that has been in the media a lot recently is the rise of vaping. And how do you handle the issue, if it's an issue at all, of vaping at school?
You know, that one required a lot of quick education. I think that situation, vaping, caught up really quick and all of a sudden became really popular, and we weren't very proactive in the beginning. In the beginning, it was very reactive. We were dealing with it after it had already happened. I think at this point, you know, a big part of that is you know, that tier-worn programming. We make sure every student is getting health education regarding what it is and the dangers of it. A lot of it in the front office is us educating parents. If kids are involved in it or have been exposed to it, that we make sure we explain to parents. 2 years ago, our parents had no idea what it was. It's just this watermelon flavored stuff in the backpack. They have no idea. And, you know, it's just really kind of having us learn and then sharing this information with parents. Luckily, we have a prevention specialist. We just received another 3-year grant. And so we have a prevention specialist in our building that if kids are involved or they're concerned about their friends who are involved, and a lot of kids now are concerned that their friends still have, that this is a habit, and they've seen in the news how dangerous vaping is for lungs and student health. And so now kids are sharing, and, you know, our prevention specialist is someone that kids can talk to and how to get their friends to quit and to make sure we're educating kids on the dangers of vaping. There's, you know, Garfield County has some systems in place to educate kids. There are videos that were made by the district as well on the dangers of vaping, and we can share those with kids who seem to be struggling with it. And thankfully, there has been a lot of news out there recently about the dangers, and I'm hoping that's getting everyone talking to their kids and building that awareness.
Well, it's almost ironic, because as middle schoolers and teenagers, we're naturally drawn to being independent and wanting to have that independence and, you know, but there is, you know, we want to be independent, but then we also see, you know, the principle of vaping is that, oh, well, my friend's doing it, so it must be okay. So we're so quick to follow things that other people are doing and see that and think that it's okay. And as soon as the media catches on, then it, you know, you get divided between the kids who did end up doing it and it became habitual, and the kids who realized, oh, wait, this isn't good. I shouldn't be doing this to my body. And so they stopped. Yeah. But you get these two clashing sides. And when it's friends, it's difficult because they can be, you know, yeah.
If that's a big part of the research, is that when you're, when kids are thinking about it, they think everyone does it. But research shows it's really only 30% of the kids.
Yeah.
Not everyone is not doing it. And that's a big part of the campaign is to, and that's what we share this morning, that only 41% say gossiping is a problem. But if you asked a middle schooler, they'd say everyone gossips.
Everybody gossips. Yeah.
Everyone. But, you know, when you survey kids, you realize it's really not everyone. Mm-hmm. And that's an important message for kids to know, that with vaping, that not everyone's doing it. Actually, you know, 30% in the state are doing it, which is above national average, but it's not everyone. And so we need to make sure that that's not the trend, and that and our job in middle school is to support kids in making healthy choices. And so that's a big part of it. And so a big part of it is that campaign to make sure that kids know that not everyone is doing it.
I think another hard thing as well with vaping is that it's not just a thing you can just like kind of stop. It's something you really have to put your mind into as well. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Just as a last resort?
No. You know what? This is always much more fun than I think it's going to be when I come. So.
Yeah, more enjoyably. Oh, that's it. Sure, I got to go get an interview.
Talk about, you want to come talk about middle school issues. Yeah. I'm like, oh my goodness. I don't know if we want to talk about middle school issues. But you know, it's interesting because they are really world issues. When you look at it, we've talked about violence. We've talked about vaping. We've talked about social media. I mean, these are all things that society talks about, and the middle school deals with them every day. And so if you look at it, middle schoolers are having to make choices about huge things every day. I mean, it's a huge time of growth.
All right. Well, sadly, it looks like that's all the time we have for today.
We have been speaking with Carbondale Middle School's principal, Jennifer Lamont, about her job as principal, as well as issues currently facing middle schoolers.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Mrs. Lamont.
And thanks for listening to the Andy Zanke Youth News Team on KDNK.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye.